Hi, this is Mike. Thank you for being a part of what God's doing at the Heights Fellowship. We hope you enjoy this message. We know it's not the same thing as being here in person, but we pray that God would move as you listen and as God applies this to your heart. Man, we're so glad you guys are here. This morning, we're going to continue a series that we just started last week. And we asked the question, okay, who are we? Trying to determine who we are as believers, who we are specifically here at the Heights Fellowship. And we kind of settled on three things. The first thing that we said was that we are commissioned with Jesus, a play on word, I get it, you know. But Jesus said literally in John 20, he said, you know, peace be with you, as the Father has sent me, so I'm sending you. Another time, but the night before the crucifixion, he had prayed, Father, as you have sent me in the world, I have sent them into the world. And so one of the things we noted is this was not stated strictly and solely for that first generation of believers, the original disciples, because Jesus had prayed, listen, I'm not just praying for them. I'm praying for the people who will believe on me through their word. So all the way down through the centuries and the millennia, Christ is looking at us. We are sent as they were. We are sent as Christ sent them. He is sending you today also. And we said that really came down to three things that we're supposed to do as individuals and that we're supposed to do as a church. First of all, we are sent or called to share the gospel, not just good ideas or kind words. That's certainly important, but we are called specifically to share the good news of Jesus Christ, that people are sinners, that God sent a Savior, that He died for them, that He was buried and He rose, and He's coming again. We are called to go into all the world and preach the good news. The second thing we said is that we are committed to shape the followers of Christ, that as we are going, we are to make disciples. You remember Jesus said, I didn't come to do my will, but the will of Him who sent me. We come not to do our will, but the will of the Christ who sent us, and we are committed to shape followers of Jesus Christ. The third thing that we are to do is we are commissioned to send them into all the world, to all the niches and all the nooks and crannies, all the highways and byways in every place, not just the beautiful places, but we are sent to the difficult places. And He said, go into all the world and preach to everyone, everywhere, this good news. That's who we are. And that's, if you missed that last week, I would encourage you to go pick that up and listen to it. Today, I want to talk about who you are. And up on the map, or up on the screens, you'll see a big world map, kind of a heat map of life expectancy. And if you can't read what everything is, that's okay. Let me explain it. The redder it is, the longer you live. All right? The bluer it is, the less life expectancy that you have. If you look, this is 2022, as of 2022, just a few months ago. The top 10 countries or places in the world where people live, number one is Hong Kong, and then Japan, Macau, Switzerland, Singapore, Italy, Spain, Australia, I don't know where the Channel Islands are, and Iceland. They're all up in the 80s. If you go all the way down, you keep ticking down through the list, about 46, you'll get to the United States. If you're male, your life expectancy is about 76 and a half years. If you're female, it's about 81 and a half years. It averages out around 79.1 years. It's the life expectancy here in the United States. Now, Francis Chan has this really cool illustration that he's done. You've probably seen it online. He takes a rope and he stretches it all the way across their auditorium. And then he goes to a certain point in that rope, and he said, that's your time. That's your lifespan right there. He pinches a little part of that rope. If you look at world history, you look at eternity, you'll know that there was eternity past when there was no time, and God existed. This is a problem for science, by the way. And then you have eternity future when Jesus returns, and we have a new heaven and a new earth. But in between, you have time. You have the time of human history. And on that line of human history, you have a place. This day, this time, your life is right there. But it's interesting to see that and understand that in the context of eternity. In fact, the scripture tells us that God has set eternity in the hearts of humans. This is something he didn't do for the animals. This is something that didn't evolve. This is something that when God started creating humans, he put in them this awareness of eternity. Did you know that in nearly every world culture that we know of throughout history, they have worshiped? You can't really explain that. In fact, they have to be programmed out of that to become atheists for the most part. It is in us that we look at creation, that we sense and see things within us that draw us to a creator somewhere. Eternity is in our hearts. God has put it there. And so it makes the question of the moment, really, in every lifetime or in every generation or every culture, this simple question: why am I here? I'm under no illusions this morning in this room, online, in our online family. Some of you guys are asking that question, why am I here? Some of you guys right now are going, why am I here in this room? You know, there's a lot of things I could have been doing on Sunday morning. Well, thank you for being here. But why are we here? In other words, if I'm a dot somewhere on that line of eternity, how do I make my dot count? So this morning I'm going to share with you how we can know and we can do that. To understand it, first of all, we need to know it's a matter of orientation. We need to see what perspective, how we're coming at it from. And I realize I'm ending with a lot of prepositions, but that's okay for now. The problem is that most human attempts come at it from the right now or it's about me mentality. The difference is that the scripture teaches us that God has put it in us and we are being drawn toward eternity. Our destiny is eternity. Now, let me be very clear because there's a cultural distinction here. There are some belief systems that say you've always been. And you kind of float in and out of time. That's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches us that there was a point in time, there was an intersection between a sperm and an egg when you were actually created and life began. That's why we champion life here in this church. But life begins at the moment of conception. And we are created at that point for eternity. Now, here's a truth that all the self-help books and all the gurus and all the kind of improvement techniques that we have never really answer life's greatest question because they focus really on one thing. They focus on helping me get better. They focus on helping me be more successful or helping me self-actualize. So let me give you a scripture. And what I'm going to do through this series, I'm going to give you some scriptures, maybe in some paraphrases and translations maybe you haven't read as much. Because here's my fear. We get so used to reading and hearing, and this is a very familiar text, some of these things in our hearts and our lives, we get so used to hearing them that when somebody says them, they just blow by us and we don't give them any consideration. So I'm trying to help you and even some cases make you consider. All right? So here's a paraphrase of Matthew chapter 16. This is, you know, the scripture about, you know, what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his soul? It's that scripture. Listen to this rendering of it. Self-help is no help at all. Self-sacrifices is the way, Jesus says, my way to go, to find yourself, your true self. What kind of deal is it to get everything you want but lose yourself? What could you ever trade your soul for? We are made for eternity. And so the first thing, or the next truth that I want to give you, I've got two slides on my screen, just so you know, sometimes when this happens, I've got two of them here and I'm looking at the wrong one as I do this. The second truth is this, that being successful and fulfilling your purpose are two different things. You can be enormously successful, you can make a lot of money, you can have a lot of notoriety and fame in your life and still not be fulfilling the purpose that God gave you. Some of you guys have changed careers midstream because you realize that. You know people that has happened to. The thing we have to understand is that my fulfillment as a human being or your fulfillment as a human being comes from understanding you weren't made for you. That's where all the self-help stuff falls apart. I can live my lifespan, my 79.1 years, and if I make 79.1, I'm going to be pretty excited about it with my track record. But I'm going to spend whatever that lifespan is, I'm going to spend a gazillion trillion years in eternity. We are practicing here on earth what we will be doing forever in eternity. So how do I make my dot count? Number one is this: understand that I'm made for eternity. God made me that way for eternity. Let me give you a couple of scriptures. 2 Corinthians 5:1. This is, by the way, a funeral text. This is one of my favorite funeral texts to preach. I use this a lot at the graveside. And some of you guys, I've done your family's funerals, and I use this at the grave. This is just about as good as it gets. Paul writes, "For we know when this tent we live in, our body, the flesh and bones, the blood and the corpuscles and all that stuff that make us up," he refers to as a tent. What do you know about a tent? A tent's temporary, right? A tent's not something you plan on living in your whole life. It's something you go camp out in. It's something you use for short term. When this tent we live in, our body here on earth, is torn down, that's talking about our death, God will have a house in heaven for us to live in, a home He Himself made. In other words, God gives us an eternal habitation. We know that in the future, our bodies will be resurrected. They will be fitted for eternity. How cool is that? And so when we stand by the graveside of a loved one who is a believer, we know that that was just a tent. They're no longer there. They've moved on to their permanent dwelling. He's made it to last forever. We're made for eternity. And then the verse we read in Ecclesiastes, let me give it to you from another translation, from the Amplified translation. He says, "He who has planted eternity in men's hearts and minds," and he defines that as a divinely implanted sense of purpose. You were made for that. God put that in you. And so the fact is, we are not earthly beings having a spiritual experience. That's what the world will tell us. We flip the script, the Lord does, and He helps us to understand we are eternal beings. We are spiritual beings who right now are just having an earthly experience. And when you get that, you begin to understand, first of all, that I can't know who I am apart from that, because I find out I am created by the Lord. The second thing is, I can't know why I am apart from that. I am created to be related to the Lord, to have a relationship with Him. And thirdly, I can't know what I am apart from that. When I understand that I'm eternal, an eternal being having an earthly experience, I begin to understand that God has put His love upon me. He loves us, so that we don't have to spend eternity separated from Him. That's what John 3:16 is all about, right? And so we understand that if we are eternal beings, have an earthly experience, that's a totally different perspective. There are really only two ways that you have of knowing. The first is what I'm going to call speculation. And speculation is when I hypothesize, I philosophize, I kind of think through it and use all the tools I have in hand to try to come up with my best answer. That's speculation. The other way is, if what if my Creator told me? That's revelation. If God tells me, listen, this is why I made you. There's a great verse over in Hebrews chapter 1 where Paul is using all these in Him statements. And one of the statements he makes, he says, in Christ, in Him, we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of Him who works all things according to the counsel of His will. Let me give you a simplified paraphrase of that. Six words that define us. It is in Christ that we find out. Some of the best counsel I could ever give you. There are things that we question, things we don't understand, things that we don't know today, right? But in Christ, eventually we're going to find out. You don't find those things out apart from Christ. That means that we find out who we are in a relationship with Jesus. That means that God thought of us long before we thought of Him. That means that our purpose is not just our purpose. It fits into a larger, eternal, greater purpose than ours. It's not ever just about me. We were made, we were produced for eternity. The second thing is that we were planned in eternity. That God thought about you long before you came to be. Ephesians 1, again, it says, for he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. Paraphrase of that verse would say something like this: long before he laid down earth's foundations, he had us in mind, and he settled on us to focus his love on us. You know what that means? I mean, in all honesty, every time I preach something like this, I'm amazed at the response, because there are some of you guys in this room, there's some of you guys online, that in your life you've been told you were a mistake, that you were an accident, or things have happened and you think that on your own. Well, please hear this. If these verses are true, and they are, that means there are no accidents with God. It's not accidental at all that you are here. That has a lot of ramifications. First of all, that means that God planned what you would be. He planned whether you would be tall or you would be short, whether you would be skinny or you would be hefty, whether you would have brown hair or blue eyes, or some of you would have hair and some of us wouldn't. He planned all of that. Psalm 139, he says, you watched me as I was being formed in the seclusion of the womb, in the dark of the womb. What a cool thought that God is putting all of that together. He's giving his attention to that. He planned what you would be. He planned when you would be. You always go to those parties, you go to those deals, those get to know me things where they say, if you could live in any part of history in time, when would that be? Well, for me, it would be the Lewis and Clark expedition. I would love to see that. Some of you guys would want to go ride a dinosaur or something, whatever you want to do. But you know what? The truth of the matter is, I'm not on the Lewis and Clark expedition, and you're not riding a dinosaur. You're not riding Dino. There's all the old people went, I got that. The young people went, what's a Dino? Watch the Flintstones. Anyway, God planned when you would be. You're not there. You're here now. The psalmist says, you saw me before I was born. Every day of my life was recorded in your book. Every moment was laid out before a single day had passed. God planned when you would live. He put you here now. He put you here now for a reason. There's incredible, incredible dignity in that. That means no accidents also means that God thinks about you a lot. The psalmist goes on to say, they're like more than the grains of sand that he thinks about you. His thoughts toward you. It's easy for us to look and say, oh, look at him or look at her. She's beautiful. She's intelligent. He's smart and successful or whatever. God thinks about them because he can really use them. What can he do with me? Just let him work. He thinks about you a lot. He even planned where you would live. Acts 17, Paul speaking says, listen, God from one man made all the nations. That would be from Adam, but really from Noah made all the nations. That they should inhabit the whole earth. And he marked out their appointed times in history and the boundaries of their lands. The Lord is controlling all of that. He planned where you would be. Ultimately, he planned how you would be born. It was God who matched your parents' DNA, who put those traits in there, who allowed you to survive not just conception, but the womb, who preserved you in the womb and then delivered you into this life. However you came to be, whatever the circumstances were behind your conception, God let that happen. No one gives life except the Lord. And his intention was to accomplish his purpose within his greater purpose for making you. The psalmist said, the Lord will fulfill his purpose for me. Your love, O Lord, endures forever. Don't abandon the works of your hands. So we were planned for eternity. We were placed in eternity. And the last thing that I want to mention this morning, or the third thing, is that we were actually placed in eternity. Everything you do has an eternal component. It matters. And I don't want you to get in the habit of overthinking everything, but just understand that what you do in this life matters. How you respond to somebody in a difficult situation may have eternal consequences. What that means, first of all, is that our life doesn't end at death. There is a philosophy, there is a theology really out there that when you die, the body dies and your soul dies with it. It's called the theory of annihilation. Well, that's not true if we were planned for eternity. You die and you're living somewhere. If you have trusted Christ and you're in relationship with Him, you're living with Him in heaven. If you have rejected Christ, and the way we reject Christ most is just to ignore Him. If we have rejected Christ and said, I'm going to do it my way, then you're going to spend eternity separated from Him in hell. But your life goes on somewhere. And what that means is that death is not a terminator. You'll be back. The scripture tells us at some point there will be a resurrection of the living and the dead. Death is not a terminator. I did that really poorly, didn't I? What it is, it's a gateway. It's a transition into eternity. And the question lays out there before us, what about me? Am I in relationship with Christ? Have I trusted Him? Has He forgiven me and redeemed me because I've trusted Him? When you get that, it colors your world. It changes your relationships. You understand, people all of a sudden get a whole lot more precious. People around you. If you've lost a loved one, we had a pretty major blow in our family here this last couple of weeks. We lost somebody who's very dear to us. And it just reminds us of how precious our time and how precious life is. But it also makes God a lot more important. I want to make sure that I'm in a good relationship with Him. It changes your problems, because when you're in relationship with Christ and you live close to God, all the things that you thought were so important become much less important. That great passage in Philippians 3 where Paul writes, I once thought all of these things were so important, but now I consider them worthless, refuse, dung, garbage. Because of what Christ has done, you draw near to Christ, and whatever problems you're encountering, they pale. They don't necessarily go away, but they're not nearly as important. It means that your future becomes much more vivid. Think through this. The scriptures say that no mere man has seen or heard or imagined the incredible, wonderful things that God has ready for those who love the Lord. I want you to pause there, because we don't do this enough. We've gotten away from this in the church and as believers. I want you to glimpse into heaven this morning. I want you to think through and process this with me. That in eternity, that in heaven, that place prepared for believers to be in relationship with the Lord for eternity future. One of the things that happens is you're going to be reunited with loved ones and friends who are believers. There will be a reunification. If they're not believers or you're not a believer, that doesn't happen. Contrary to what AC/DC wrote, that I'm on the highway to hell, and I'm going to be there with all my friends, you will not be in hell. I believe hell is intense isolation, in torment for eternity. There ain't no party. But in heaven, there's a reunification. That's when we come back together. It's when we celebrate what Christ has done in us and the victory He has given us. There's also a sense that we will be released from all the pain and suffering. Think through that. As we age, things get harder and harder. You'll wake up and you're like, man, I didn't feel that way yesterday. Well, I'm feeling that way today. What did I do yesterday? You didn't do anything. You just lived. All that stuff goes away. I mean, think about it. Those of you guys who are on medications, some of you guys will tell me, I'm on 17 medications. That's, by the way, for you young people, that's what old people do. We sit around and compare medications. You won't be doing that, because there won't be any. No trips to the doctor, no trips to the hospital, no procedures, no surgeries. It's gone. The pain and the suffering are gone. Not just physically, but mentally and emotionally. You're not carrying those emotional scars from something that happened to you in the past or from a failure that you may think that you had, and you're dealing with that. That's gone. You'll be rewarded for your faithfulness here on earth. And then check this out. You're not going to be floating around on a cloud playing a harp. You're not going to become a fat little angel playing your harp. What you're going to do is you're going to be reassigned to work that is meaningful, that fulfills you, that you enjoy. You'll have something to do in heaven. I don't know what it is. Mine will be driving jeeps and going on ski trips. That's what I want it to be. God will probably find something else. But it'll be incredibly fulfilling even more than those things. We will realize unbroken fellowship with the Lord. You're not going to say the wrong thing or think the wrong thing or have the wrong attitude or do the wrong thing and go, oh my gosh, what have I done? And the Lord will delight in that relationship forever. Now here's the question. And this, I'm serious. I'm as serious as I've ever been in my ministry here. What do you have better than that? Please, if you have anything that can compete with that, let me know. I'll go today and do that. See, at some point we come to the consideration that Paul had when he wrote the church in Rome, and he said, you know, I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy even to be compared. There's no comparison with the glory that is to be revealed to us. So hear me this morning. When we mourn a loved one that we've lost who's a believer, I get the grief. I'm dealing with it right now. But folks, if they're a believer, heaven is not a demotion. It's a promotion. It's what God made us for. How could we ever hold somebody we love back from that? And I understand we mourn. We're going to. We lost the closeness and proximity. But if they're a believer, we understand there's a reunification. There'll be a time that we're together again, glorying in the Lord. And what we have there isn't even worthy to be considered with this stuff that we're in now. What a cool thought. So how do you see your life? Three things. Your life is a test. Did you know 200 times in Scripture that idea comes out? That God uses our life as a test. And there are all kinds of things that test us. You know, there are many varieties of tests. Sometimes it's changes in life. We graduate. We get married, we have a baby, we have a relationship breakup, we lose a job, we get a job, we have a health issue, we have money, we don't have money. Life changes. You think you're secure, everything's going along, and then something happens. We're dealing with that in our family right now. It's a test. Sometimes it's delayed promises. You thought God was going to do this. You're pretty sure that God gave this, made this very clear, and you just don't see it happening as soon as you would think or you would like. Or maybe it's some impossible problem, some big Goliath out there in front of you. They're like, I don't know how we get around this. Or maybe it's a prayer that you've been praying for years and seems like God's not doing anything. Don't quit. It's a test. Sometimes it's criticism you get for something that's not what I meant, that's not what I did, but I'm getting unjustly accused and criticized because of it, and it hurts. And then there's tragedies. These are the ones that get us. And we lose something, we lose someone, we see something happen in our world, and you're just like, God, how can you let that go? He didn't let it go. And sometimes you ask him things, and you just feel like he's silent. God speaks in silences sometimes. There were 400 years of silence between the Old Testament and the New Testament. Do you realize that? No word of the Lord came for 400 years, four centuries. That's longer than we've been on this continent. We're close to it. Wow. Your life is a test. And here's the deal. He uses problems to test your faith. Are you going to trust Him in those? Are you going to trust Him through those? He uses possessions to test your trust. Sometimes you don't have enough. You're like, am I going to trust God for the next thing, or am I going to go do something kind of contrary to what God would want to get them? Or do I have ample amounts, even a surplus, and I'm frittering it away rather than using it for what God intended? That comes on both ends of that spectrum. He uses possessions to test our trust. Some of you guys are children of poverty. Some of you guys are children of privilege. How are you using either to trust the Lord? And then God uses people to test our love. Amen? You're going to find out how much you love Christ by the way you treat the person you like the least. Man, that's a powerful thought I heard 40 years ago, and it just stuck with me. How do you treat the least of these? People will challenge you, won't they? If you doubt that, just pay attention as you drive home from this place. You're going to get tested by people. How do you love? How do you love? So life is a test. The second thing, life is a trust. God trusts us with everything we have and everything we are. I call that possessions. He trusts us with possessions. And secondly, God trusts us with potential, everything that we can become. Some of you guys are shortchanging yourself. Some of you guys are shortchanging what God would do. You know, on August the 5th, 1983, when I surrendered to the Lord, I had no clue it would lead to this. I had a lot of ideas and plans of what my life would look like. None of them exist today. God had something completely different in mind. He trusts you with what we can become. Your life is a trust. 1 Corinthians 4 says, what do you have that God hasn't given you? I mean, everything from the breath you just breathed to the health that you have to whatever talent or possessions or opportunities. If all you have is from God, why do you boast as if you did it yourself? Deuteronomy 8, in the Old Testament, all the way back to Moses, he knew our human tendency was to start taking credit where we can't. And so he said, remember that the Lord your God, it is He who gives you the ability to produce your wealth. Folks, that's why we give back to the ministry, to the church. That's why we have an offering box, we have online giving, and we ask our people to do that. And the fact of the matter is, only about 20% of us do. And you're robbing yourselves of a blessing. I'm telling you. Test Him and see. Life is a trust. The third thing is we need to understand that we are a dot. It's a temporary assignment. We are eternal spiritual beings having an earthly experience in our dot. Lord, make me to know my end and to appreciate the measure of my days. Let me know and realize how frail I am. You only have an X amount of time. The way you're going to maximize that is to be invested in what the Lord would have you be about. Here's the cool thing. A test, a trust, a temporary assignment. You have all of those because you have a relationship with Christ who bought and paid for the opportunity that you have. If you know Christ, man, get after it. If you don't know Christ, why not trust Him this morning? Will you receive the gift of that relationship with Christ? We're going to walk you through a prayer here in just a minute, and we're going to celebrate the Lord's Supper. But before we do, everybody look up at me. And if you're online, I want you to look at me as well. I want you to take your right hand, just like this. Hold it up. I'm not going to make you make a vow, okay? Don't get scared. You take it and put it over your chest right here, and just be quiet. Do you feel that? You know what that is? That's called purpose. That's your heart beating. And as long as that beats, you have a reason and an opportunity to serve the Lord. Will you do that this morning? Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your love. Father, we thank You that in the course of human events and of time that You selected now for me to be here. Father, we don't know the why of that, and so rather than guess and speculate, we look to You to show us and tell us. Father, we thank You for Your word, that you've given us that gives us direction. Father, we thank you that we can know you, that we can know the Christ who died for us in our place, for our sins, who died, was buried, was resurrected, is ascended, and is coming again. Father, we proclaim that truth this morning in the hearing of these folks in this room and online, that someone would hear that and say, I need that. I need Jesus. I need to be forgiven. I need to yield my will to him and say, okay, Jesus, I'm not going to try to save myself. I'm going to trust what you did as sufficient and enough. And Lord, I pray that this morning would be the start that somebody needs, would be the new beginning that they desperately want. Father, we would be reminded as believers, we got a dot and it's temporary, but we got it and we can live our lives according to your purpose today. So thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, thank you for being a part of what God's doing here at the Heights Fellowship. If the Lord led you to make a decision or you have a question or a need, we want to hear from you. Send us an email at the email listed below, info@theheightsfellowship.org. And we will join you in praying as you take a step forward on your journey with God.